today I'm bringing you a special Mother's Day message, although a different kind of Mother's Day message. And I pray that as each, no matter where you are, no matter where you're sitting, if you are driving, or no matter what, how you are listening to this message, I pray that today is bringing you joy and gladness. And I pray, no matter where you are, that you are on your way or getting ready to enter into a house of worship. Amen. So on today, I will bring you a different kind of Mother's Day message. And today, our text will be coming from Matthew 1, verses 1 through 6. And I know I typically do not read the scripture, but I'm going to read the scripture today because it is a different kind of Mother's Day message. And the scripture reads, starting at verse 1, of the historical record of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. It says, Abraham fathered Isaac, Isaac fathered Jacob, Jacob fathered Judah and his brothers, Judah fathered Perez and Zerah by Tamar, Perez fathered Hezron, Hezron fathered Aram, Aram fathered Amminadab, Amminadab fathered Nahshon, Nahshon fathered Salmon, Salmon fathered Boaz by Rahab, Boaz fathered Obed by Ruth, Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered King David. Then David fathered Solomon by Uriah's wife. Now, I know that it is very, very strange to hear a scripture or a text like this read for a Mother's Day. And I know that today a lot of preachers around the world will be preaching from Proverbs 31. And that is an appropriate text for today's scripture, for today's occasion. It is one that I have preached on from previous Mother's Days. And if you want to go back to the book of Proverbs, you can go to the book of Proverbs 31, where it talks about a virtuous woman. But when I think of Proverbs 31, I like to think of what Liz Curtis Higgs said of this woman, that this ideal woman was described 3,000 years ago in Proverbs 31, and she is still intimidating her sisters ever since. O.S. Hawkins said of this woman that this wonder woman gets up before dawn and stays busy until the early hours of the next morning, and we have developed a mental image of her. She has the look of a movie star, the domestic abilities of a master chef, the stamina of a world-class athlete, the intellect of a professor with a PhD, the tenacity of a political operative, the wisdom of a godly missionary, the sensitivity of Mother Teresa, if you will, the business sense of a Fortune 500 executive, the grace of an etiquette expert, and the spirituality of the Virgin Mary. And then he concludes to say, no wonder so many mothers leave church feeling down on Mother's Day. Because it's that comment that caught my attention. So I began to ask this question. I said, Lord, what about all of the mothers who are asking, what if I don't quite measure up to the Proverbs 31 woman? Is there any hope for me? Can God use me? And not just And not just mothers, we all have times and circumstances in our lives when we ask this question, is there any hope for me? Can God use me? Can God take me with all of my flaws, my sin, my sometimes lack of faith, my past, my pain, and still use me? But we find our answer in our text today. That's right. You might not have noticed it, but in our reading today, we find the names of four women, all who are mothers. We find Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and though unnamed in this text, we know her by the name of Bathsheba, which was Uriah's wife. So you might be saying, well, Pastor Parrott, how is that? How are you going to pull a Mother's Day message out of this? And I'm going to let you know, because we're going to hit each one of these four women in a short amount of time. So what about these four women in Matthew chapter 1? Well, we could start off with Tamar. We actually find her story in Genesis 38. Now, let me just tell you that that there is not a soap opera that has ever been on television that is worse than The Tale of Tamar. Here is the, I'm going to give you a condensed version. Tamar is the daughter-in-law of one of the 12 sons of Jacob, Judah. Tamar was married to Jacob's first son, and he died without Tamar having had a child. Tamar is then given to Judah's second son in order to carry out the custom of the day, and that is father a child with her. Once he died, Judah was concerned that his third son must die, so he doesn't allow the marriage. After all, he's thinking, okay, well, Tamar is cursed. So without child, after Judah's first wife died, Tamar does the unthinkable. She dresses like a prostitute and propositions her father-in-law. He takes her up on the offer, and she then bears a son. And if you would, one word describes Tamar's story. It is simply desperate. Often our desperation causes us to make some bad decisions, but Tamar made one even though she thought herself justified in doing so. The second story, the second woman in Matthew 1 is Rahab. We find her story actually beginning in Joshua chapter 2. It is Rahab's house that is used by the spies to scout out the land of Israel before entering. Now Tamar was one time a prostitute, but Rahab, when we meet her in Joshua 2, she is a full-time prostitute. In fact, that is how she is described, Rahab the prostitute. Don't believe me, you can go back to Joshua 2 and read it yourself. Oftentimes in Scripture, you'll find these descriptions of an occupation in the person's name. If you're not following, Matthew is the tax collector, for example. John the Baptist. Rahab is identified as a prostitute. In Joshua, we don't even learn that she had children. But now we learn not only did she have children, but she gave birth to Boaz, who would soon marry Ruth. And Rahab represents that kind of person who cannot dodge his or her past, even in reformation and repentance. Someone or something is always there to remind you of your past. And then we go on to find Ruth, where we are probably more familiar with Ruth's story. There is a book in the Bible named after her. Ruth's story is a story of tragedy and famine. Ruth in 1:1, it leads to the death of all the men in her immediate family and her husband, her father-in-law and her brother-in-law. And the tragedies allow us to see her devotion to her mother-in-law and returning to the land of promise. But do not miss something here. Ruth is not an Israelite. She is from the land of Moab. Worse than being from the wrong side of the tracks or town, as we might say, she was from the wrong line of people. The Moabites were from a line that started in incest and were notoriously pagan and ungodly people. And like the Moabites, some people cannot shake their roots. And then fourth but not last, we find Bathsheba, where we are probably most familiar with Bathsheba. Story, she is known for her sin with King David. Her story is really the story of King David's sin, but it takes two people to commit adultery. So there you have it. Matthew, inspired by the Holy Spirit, pens this genealogical record of Jesus in the record for women. All outsiders, three of the four have what we would categorize as pretty checkered past. And so therefore, what do we learn? What do we learn from these four? And that is simple on this Mother's Day, that there is hope for you no matter what. What I would like to tell you is that no matter what you can find with these four women, is that no matter what, there is hope for you. Because no matter what your past may say, you can always have a brighter future. You have something that is deep down inside of you that God wants to bring out of you. So I'm going to give you three spiritual truths truths about the four women in Matthew 1. Number one, do not compare yourself to others. Here is the problem with comparing yourself to others. When you compare yourself with those whom you would consider better than, the result will be pride. When you compare yourself with those whom you consider to be less than, the result will be covetous and envy, and either the comparison leads to sin. Second, stop allowing your past to control your future. Don't let your past paralyze you. Confess your sin, claim God's forgiveness and righteousness to cover your sin, and live in that freedom. As we say as we say here at Empowered Church, we all have hurts, habits, and hangups. Don't let Satan use the things against you. Just try to give you proof of God's grace. We have great examples of God's grace in the ancestry of Jesus. The one who died to provide us the grace to be saved was born into this world by a long line who had already experienced his grace. Third, and final, start being the person God has called you to be. God's grace does not give us a license to continue in our sin. Rahab's story serves as a great reminder of this truth. When confronted with the truth about the one true God, Rahab announced, "For your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." This seems to be the beginning of her faith journey, if you will. A faith journey by the writer of Hebrews spoke of when, in his roll call of people of faith, he said of Rahab, "By faith, Rahab the prostitute received the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed." And when the Apostle James was explaining the connection of faith to works, he mentions Rahab as an example of one who displayed her faith by her works. So, Mom, if you're not quite a Proverbs 31 woman, be encouraged. God is going to use you. Maybe you will be to your children as Bathsheba was to Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, some say. And this is not just a message for Mom, but this is, in fact, a message for all of us. So, my brothers and my sisters, this is the message on today. I pray that it blesses you. I pray that it resonates. I pray that it resonates with you. And I'm going to tell you what I always tell you before I leave you, and that is this: the will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not keep you. Be blessed, my brothers and my sisters. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers.